For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2020 Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, February the 23rd, 2020. Deborah Bales is the speaker of the morning, teaching on the power of endurance.
Helps us to walk in victory.
Yes.
We thank God for victory today. Praise the Lord. It's been an awesome camp meeting. We thank God for you all today. And I just want to give you an encouraging word. I pray that the Lord will bless you through it. The power of endurance.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah, He equips us to fight, to war, and win. Because we're winners.
Yes, we are.
Amen. We're the head and not the tail.
Yes,
He said we're above only, not beneath.
Amen.
He set before us an open door that no man can close.
Amen.
Amen. We're lenders and not borrowers. We're more than conquerors through Him because of what Jesus has done for us. So as we continue to receive deliverance, healing, it empowers us to go forth and not in our own strength, but in the strength of the Lord. Hallelujah. So we just want to share this with you today, and I just pray that, again, the Lord will bless. Father, we thank you today for your people. We thank you for everything you've done this weekend. We love you. We appreciate you, Father. We thank you that the enemy is bound, shackled, yes, muzzled, chained, gagged, yes, prevented from operating in the name of the Lord. Father, if he manifests, it's only so that he will come up and out in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, God, for the word of the Lord. We ask you, Lord God, to take your word deep in our hearts and don't let it slip from us, Father. We appreciate you in everything that you are doing. Have your way. Let your complete, perfect, and whole will be done in the lives of your handmaids, men, servants, Father God, people of God everywhere. We thank you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for Brother Merle and Barbara and everyone here. We ask, God, that you bless them and keep your hands on them in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for touching and moving in their lives in a mighty, mighty way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank
you.
So if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 3 and 4. Very familiar scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. It says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Now, I'm going to stop and say this, you know. Whenever I think about soldiers and army, military, any type of way, whether it's spiritual or physical, I get very excited. Because I believe God called me to be a warrior.
Amen.
I really believe that. I believe that He calls us to fight. And the jobs He gives us to do, I believe He wants us to do it well.
Yes.
Whether it's prayer, whether it's intercession, whether it's preaching, teaching, singing, whatever it is, I believe He equips us to do it effectively.
Yes.
Just like in the natural, when people go to school, they learn a trade or whatever. They do all they can to perfect it. And I believe that God wants us to perfect the things that He's given us, complete it, mature.
Yes,
you know, you grow up. You know, this is why I believe, you know, novices should not do a job of a pastor, for example, because a novice isn't skilled yet. Yeah, you can be called to a work, but you need to learn what that's all about. And it took a long time for us to get where we are. And I think that's a good thing. A lot of things that's happening today in the Bible, in the body of Christ, and ministers and things of this nature, sometimes they jump a little prematurely, and they go before the time. And we sometimes, Carla, have to slow people down, that we understand the call on your life, and in order to endure hardness, you got to be made and trained. And so in the military, they trained us and they took time to give us the tools to fight. So I didn't go the second day of my military training and say, oh, I'm ready to go out there and kill everybody up. It didn't work that way. I didn't even know how to use the weapon. I had to learn it, you know. I had to learn how to take it apart, how to put it together and all this stuff. Well, it's the same in the body of Christ. So Paul is telling us here, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. Now, sometimes we're seeking to please everybody but God. Come on. And he wants us to please him. And he'll teach us how to do that. Yeah. When you get in his presence. Oh, I love this already. Hallelujah. So what does it mean to endure? It means to bear without resistance with patience. Now, I was taught this. If you need patience, don't pray for it. I was taught this because I was at one time praying for patience and I was getting all the stuff that would teach you patience. What you do is you ask God, give me the ability to endure. And so if you're going through a trial, it will work patience in you. If you're going through something and it's difficult, when you get to the end of it, sister, if you pass it, you'll have the patience you need. You'll have the ability to wait. When the Lord says wait, my God, you won't get in a hurry. Praise the Lord. So even through hard things, enduring means to bear it without resistance. You won't fight the process. It says to tolerate with the willingness to go through. Sometimes we're not willing. You know, I wasn't really willing to preach because, as I said the other day, I didn't really want to be up in front of folks. But I had to learn that if this is the call that God has on my life, I'm going to have to tolerate this. Come on, and sometimes you have to put up with things that you may not want to put up with. But that endurance will build patience in you.
Yes, it will.
Now, when it talks about entangling, that means to be entwined. You don't want to be involved in a situation or a scrimmage that you're not called to fight.
Amen.
And a lot of times the cares of this life will tangle you up with situations and you'll find out, I'm supposed to be on the south end, but I'm on the north end. Because I'm entangled, I'm ensnared, I've been caught. You realize, wait a minute, I'm on the wrong playing field. I need to get out of this and get over there. Even though there may be a scrimmage over there, Carla, but if there's a scrimmage over there and you're anointed to be there, you won't be entangled. You'll recognize that you're on the offensive, not the defensive. Because a lot of times on the defense, you're trying to get away from something. But if you learn what it means to fight offensively, you're going toward the enemy.
Yes.
And then you're a threat. And I think that's what we need to be. We need to be threats. And I think that God wants to just encourage you today that you really are a threat to the kingdom of darkness. You are. He don't like you. Mm-hmm. He don't like the word that's being put in you. He doesn't like the fact that we're learning who we are in God. And that we can take back. I heard that song, went to the enemy's camp and took
back
what he stole.
Amen.
And you can do that. So you don't want to be intertwined, involved with, or entangled. It also means to connect or tie. You don't want to be tied to the wrong thing or person or place. That's why we pray to break soul ties. You know what I'm saying? It also means to be involved in and to entangle oneself. So sometimes, I'll speak about myself. I've entangled myself with my words by saying the wrong thing, thinking the wrong thing. And then it'll tie you up.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, and then you realize, wait a minute now, ain't nobody tied me up but me.
That's right.
because I said the wrong thing.
That's right.
I confessed the wrong thing. The sister was saying today about her eyes, and she said, well, you know, I'm older and I'm going to be, you know, this is just going to happen. I said, it don't have to.
That's right.
There you go. Moses was 120 years old, and his natural force was not abated, and his eyes was not dim. So when I began to see, I said, well, if that happened for him and you called me to do a work, then if I live to be 120, I want my eyes to be 20/20. I want my natural force not to be abated. I want to have my strength.
Yes.
I don't want someone to have to take care of me. I've been talking this morning. Come on, I'm talking about the power to endure. Hey, my shadabo say, my God, you take back your health if the devil's trying to steal it. You declare and decree that I am healed because of the stripes of Jesus Christ. And I don't have to succumb to sickness and disease and the bacteria that's in the land. Even when the enemy tries to come, he has to leave, because the Bible says no weapon that's formed will prosper. And every tongue that rises up, oh my God, we can condemn it, because it's your heritage. It's your right to say no. Come on, it's your right to stand in victory. Stand. Oh, yes, God. Uh-huh, yeah. Sometimes he tries to come at us. Come on now. But you got to take a look. Sometimes I do? I step back. Yeah, so wait a minute. My feelings is getting in the way a little bit. What's going on? I need to step back, because I can't fight in my emotions. Come on now. Glory to God. I've got to fight by faith. I've got to fight with trusting and depending and relying on God. Can't go by what I feel, because what I feel is fickle.
Yes. Got it. Amen. That's right.
It changes.
Yes, it does.
Because you all know it. You're up today, down tomorrow. You feel like victory right now, but then tomorrow, what will you feel? Don't go by your feelings. Go by what the Word says.
Amen.
Come on now. Talk about the power to endure. Yes. This is what gives me the ability to run.
Yes.
And not look back. To shake off all that foolishness that the enemy will try to put on you. Come on.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. It'll change your, you know, the Lord will even know, he knows how to help us change our mindset of things. And when I really begin to get in the Word of God and begin to see who Jesus is, he's the lily of the valley.
Yes.
He's the bright and morning star.
Yes.
He's the Alpha and Omega.
Yes.
He's the beginning and the end. Oh my God, he is your healer today. He's the bread of life. Mm-hmm. He is our light and he is our hope. Who is Jesus to you? He's your all in all.
Yes. Amen.
Mm-hmm. And when we keep our attention on him, you can make it.
Amen.
The power to endure even hurt, even wounds, even death, even grief, even sorrow. He will walk you through it.
Amen.
You don't have to get stuck.
No.
No matter how it is, sis,
no,
you can make it. Because
yes.
Jesus
yes.
is with the power to endure. Jesus is with you.
Yes. Amen.
Last year, I believe some of y'all know, and went through a death, and it hit me pretty hard, but I said, Lord, now I have 30 days and I need you to lift this up off of me, because I have work to do. And I can't do it with sorrow clothes on. And I'm talking about me now. So I got 30 good days here. So let me get all this out. And he did it. God did it. God lifted it.
Yeah, he did.
He did it. Right there,
yep, that's right.
On my knees.
Yes.
And I thank God every time he ministers to me. It gives me greater hope, Kim, to know, God, you did that, you'll do this. Because
yes.
I can't function heavy, y'all. I got to tell you, I'm real. I can't function heavy. I can't function if something is bothering me.
Amen.
The power to endure. You got to run light. Let me give you this. Used to run track. And when you run track, you know, your clothes are real light. You know, you got little shorts on, little top on, tennis shoes. And nothing on you is real tight, you know, it's just loose. So you can run. Well, you can't run with all kind of stuff on you. No. You can't run with the backpack, your
cell phone.
Okay. You can't run with that stuff. You can't run with the burdens and cares of this life. You got to cast them off.
Yes.
You got to stay loose and light.
Like
the power to endure.
Yes.
So if something's bothering me, I'll talk it out. I'll talk it out. I'll pray it out. Come on.
Yes.
I won't quit until it's finished. That's what you have to learn to do. The power of endurance, and God will help you.
Yes, amen.
He'll help you overcome.
Yes, he does.
Okay?
Amen.
Now let me give you this. God gives you strength to endure trouble, affliction, and pain as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. So when walking through these things, it's important to realize that God is with you. He will strengthen you and he'll make you stronger. So everything you go through really is to make you better, not bitter. Better. Not bitter, not sad, not heavy, but better. God is raising up soldiers that will not resist nor bow down to the enemy's attacks.
Amen.
Don't give in. Don't give in to the siege attacks that
Amen.
Come. Don't give in to the indirect warfare.
Yes.
Don't give in to blindsided attacks that
Amen.
Come and you were not expecting it. Just get up. You know how little kids do? My little granddaughter's good at this. She keeps up with, she has two older brothers, and she keeps up with them pretty good. Sometimes she falls, and you know what? She'll get right back up. She said, y'all think y'all gonna leave me? You ain't leaving me. Don't you know we got to have that kind of attitude? Come on now. Run your own race, yes. Run it well.
Amen.
Don't try to be like anybody else. Be you.
That's right.
My son tells me, Mom, do you. Do what you do.
Amen.
I said, what does that mean? Just do what you do.
So true. Amen.
And you know what? I really took that to heart. Stop looking at the breath of the other person, how they are.
Yeah,
do you.
Amen.
So the Lord started applying that to my life. I'm not going to take time to go through all that this morning, but he started applying it in different areas of my life. Hey, it's all right to be me. It's all right. If I want to color my hair, I color my hair. If I don't want to color my hair, I won't color my hair. If I want to wear a wig, I wear a wig. Come on. Hey, glory to God. If I want to put a hat on, I put a hat on. Come on now. Dress up, dress down. Come on here, somebody. Do you. There's beauty in you that still needs to come out.
Amen.
Don't he beautify the meek with salvation? Hey, glory to God. So when I stop trying to be like somebody else, like my daughter, she wears her hair sometimes way out here. I said, can you do that for me? Well, my head is small. Hers is big. So you can imagine what I look like. It's true, ain't it? It's true. When she was younger, you know, she could do these ponytails. And I said, can you give me one of those? I said, wait a minute. It don't look like wig. She said, Mom, my head is different from yours. Come on now. But I had to learn to do me. You see what I'm saying? When you stop trying to measure yourself up to somebody else and be who God wants you to be, you can endure. Your race is not like the next one sitting next to you. Come on, somebody. So he will give you what it takes to endure, sister. He'll give you power. Okay, who was it in the Bible? Who was in the Bible? Deborah and Barak, was it? Barak?
Yes.
Barak?
Yes.
They were on the battlefield, and she said, God's going to give the battle to a woman. And it was the young lady, the man with his crazy self, ran into the tent of the woman, and she took a nail. Jael? Yeah, took it. Glory to God. He said, okay, I'm going to get him good. He went to sleep. He never woke up. Because she took the nail and she said, I'm going to make sure he ain't getting up. She took it and she nailed his head. Come on, somebody. And that's what God is giving us how to do. How to nail the head of the devil. Come on. If it's your children and the devil is after them, you take that 10 peg and you put it in the devil's head and you tell him, get away from my children. Get away from my home. Stop taking my peace. Glory to God. The power to endure. You're more than a conqueror. And sometimes you gotta, you know what I'm saying, get a little tough. Open your mouth. Begin to tell the devil, you gotta move. Can't stay here no more. Been depressed long enough. Come on. Been feeling sorry for yourself long enough. Get up from there.
Shake it off.
And keep going. It ain't all that bad. Come on. It's a brighter day tomorrow. Love it today. Power to endure. Listen. So God is raising up soldiers that will not resist or bow down to the enemy's attacks.
Amen.
With each attack, there's a counterattack that God will give you that will defeat the enemy. That's what happened to what, Jael? He ran in there. He went to sleep. She said, okay, we're going to do this real calmly. Ain't going to make no fanfare. Just get her done. Come on, somebody. And that's what we have to have, that attitude. Get her done. Get her done. Realize that God is involved in every scrimmage, battle and war that may come your way. As you learn to lean on him, he will strengthen you to stand, fight, and win. He will make you to be a battle axe and a weapon of war. So stay submitted to him in every area of your life. But that's what's key. You must surrender everything. Even when things happen that's bad, you got to even give that, okay, Lord, I don't know why you let this happen to me. I don't know why. But I'm trusting you that you know what you're doing.
Amen.
I don't talk to God like that, do you? I do. So, Lord, well, I guess you do know what you're doing. Because I don't know right now what you're doing. It don't make no sense. But I trust you.
Yes.
My hope is in you.
Yes.
My help is in you.
Yes.
Come on. And I know you're going to see me through this.
Yes.
When you talk like that, you will win. The devil will realize, she got it again. I just knew I had her this time. I knew I had him this time. No, because when you begin to rise up and take your place in God, he has to flee. He can't stay. I'm going to give you a few weapons of war, okay? Just a few. A whole list, but just a few of these. You must understand, number one, the power of resistance. The Bible says in James 4:6 or 4:7. Let me go there so I don't do it wrong. Very familiar scripture. James 4:7 says, submit yourself to God. So when you submit, you know what that is? First of all, you're respecting God for who he is. You're reverencing him. You're honoring him. And you say, I will obey without reservation. Not going to tell God how to do a thing. I'm going to submit to him. So when you submit, now that also means repenting too. Because if by chance you got some sin in your life, the Lord will deal with that when you get in his presence. Because Isaiah, was it 59? I think it said his hand ain't short, that he can't save. His ear's not heavy, that he can't hear. But your sin can keep God from doing what you need him to do. So this is why we need to repent every day, confess our faults, our sins, and all this stuff here. So that when this comes here in James, we can submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Yeah, that's right. Bye-bye. Go somewhere else. okay? Number one, resistance. That's a weapon, a powerful one. Sometimes I think we may overlook it because he'll recognize I can't stay in this territory because she's totally submitted to God. Number two, you must know that God's given you the ability to pull down strongholds. Now, as some of you have received, or maybe all, everybody has received some prayer, ministry, deliverance, now you have the right to take authority. The enemy tried to come back. He said, wait a minute, hold up. What's up? Where are you coming from?
Right.
You pull down strongholds by getting a hold of your mind, cast down every vain imagination. Yeah, they didn't give you no gift. They could have called your name out. Like the sister said the other day, she said, well, if your name don't get called, it ain't your time. Come on. Come on now. But you know somebody would get offended? Well, I don't understand. You know, I put my name in there. They should have called me. Jesus is calling you. He's calling you to get right there because your attitude is right. So you take that thought and you throw it in the trash.
Amen.
When you get up in the morning and a crazy thought comes at you, take the thought and throw it in the trash.
Amen.
Wait a minute, that ain't God right there. So you're going to pull the thoughts down. Take them captive. Every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Amen.
If Jesus ain't in it nowhere, throw it away.
Amen.
Okay? Number three. This is a good one. You need to pray and fast. So fasting and prayer help to keep your flesh under. Stay submitted to God, consecrated to the Lord. As the Lord leads you to fast and pray, I would admonish you to do it. It's a discipline. Form of worship. We don't hear a lot about prayer and fasting, do we?
That's right.
Huh? I ain't going to ask y'all over again. I won't ask you how many times you fast and pray throughout the year. That's none of my business. I'll just keep my eyes down here on the Bible. But the Bible tells us in Isaiah 58. Okay? Mm-hmm. You want God to move in your life? You want to stay in a consecrated place and free? Fast and pray. Now, I'm not talking about fasting to lose weight and all that. Because a lot of people fast, they go without food. But don't put nothing in place of that. They just go without food. That's all you're doing. But when you put prayer with it, it's a form of worship. You're setting aside time with God. The Bible says in verse 6, it says, is not this the fast that I have chosen to loose the bands of wickedness? To undo heavy burdens? To let the oppressed go free and that ye break every yoke. Some yokes and some things that need to be destroyed, but when you pray and fast, it keeps you in a vein where you can hear God. You're sensitive to God. God can deal with you. It's about, really, it's a form of worship, but really it's a time where God deals with us in that time. Now, I used to hear this a lot that you have to fast and pray for power. That ain't how you get power. The Bible says in Acts 1 and 8, because you shall you'll receive power when the Holy Ghost come on you.
Yes, amen.
You'll be witnesses of Him.
Amen.
That's power. You get power because you fast and pray. Demons do that. Witches and warlocks do all that. They fast for power. They fast for all kind of crazy stuff. Come on here. And that's not us.
No.
You know, sometimes witches and warlocks will go to services just like this to get demons. You do know that, right? You cast them out, they take them. It's the truth. A lot of occultic things go on in services just like this. They thrive on prophetic services. This is why we have such a hard time. When God really want to move in that vein. We sometimes resist the power of God because we think the enemy's involved. Well, the mixture comes, and I know my sister mentioned about mixture, and it's true. Mixture comes when there's sin and tainting in one's life. If there's contamination in my life, and I prophesy to you, I could contaminate you.
That's true. Be careful.
So I have to be careful that I'm clean, that my hands are clean. There's no blood dripping. Now, that means I must stay in a consecrated place. And since I'm like this right here, there's some circles you go in and people, they know the prophetic anointing is on your life. First thing they come up to you, what the Lord is saying? I say, the Lord is saying, read your Bible. Because
right.
I ain't got nothing for you.
That's right. I'm not a fortune teller.
I ain't no palm reader.
That's right.
I don't have no crystal ball. I ain't got no crystal ball for you, baby. Come on here, somebody. I'm going to tell you, get on your knees and you need a relationship with Jesus Christ. Come on. Clap them hands. We need Jesus.
That's right.
The Lord is trying to bring back the gifts in purity, in holiness, in righteousness. The enemy fights the gifts of the Spirit, y'all. Don't make no bones about it. Yes, he does. There's been so much infiltration and contamination. So what is the Lord doing? He's cleaning us up. Get pure. When you fast and pray for the right reasons, you'll get the right results.
Amen. Good word.
Stay on it just a few more minutes here.
Good word.
I know churches, they fast every year, fast all the time. But I've seen where assist people, they go on fast churches even. And before they get off the fast, there's so much confusion that broke out. There's so much demonic activity going on. Do you know why? Because people are not surrendered to God, so that's in them is growing. If they're bitter, they get more bitter. If they're angry and mess runners, they're more mess runners. Come on. If they're gossipers, there's more mess going on than God. So the results you're looking at are not godly results. So even before entering into this, you need to really repent. I believe we need revivals of repentance.
Amen, amen.
Where people do nothing but get to the altar and say, look, cleanse me. Turn me inside out.
Amen.
Stand me up on my head if you have to and drink it out. Whatever you got to do to get it out. Come on here, somebody.
Amen.
Do we really seek God like that? That God, whatever you want to do in my life, do it. You need to begin to fast and pray correctly. It's a powerful weapon. We have many examples of men and women of God that God used them, and he used them purely, but they understood the Word of God.
Amen.
So fasting and prayer. Read all of Isaiah 58, okay, when you get a chance. All right?
Yes,
number four. You have two more. The fire of the Lord. 2 Kings 18. Let me just read this scripture. You know, fire is a purifier, fire cleanses, fire judges. But God's fire will burn up, it'll clean up. Mm-hmm. And I believe on the day of Pentecost, they saw fire. I talked about that the other day. God's fire with the Holy Ghost is pure. I believe in Hebrews, he says, that God is a consuming
fire.
He'll consume all of our life. 2 Kings 18, 36 through 40. Let's read. 2 Kings 18. Okay, it should be 1 Kings 18, 36 through 40. Y'all forgive us. 1 Kings. And it says, 1 Kings 18, sorry about that, 36 through 40. It says, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, then Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." And Elijah said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. So basically, you know, if you read the story, it's where, you know, Elijah had this thing going in the Baals, and they said, you know, "Our God is God." And said, "Okay, well, let's prove it." And they, you know, had their little altars, and they was hollering and screaming and, you know, cutting themselves and doing it. And he got to taunting them. You know, I wish I could have been there. Because I'd have been doing the same thing. "Go ahead on. Yeah. Let's see what you got. Come on. You ain't calling them loud enough. They don't hear you." And he was taunting them. And the more he taunted them, the more they squalled and cut themselves. And finally he said, "Okay, enough." And all he did was pray to God. He said, "Lord, we know you're real. Don't you know that when we grab that kind of fire in our situation, we'll walk in victory?" God knows how to blow fire on stuff that's going on and the enemy's fighting you. He knows how to stop the devil. Did he not stop the Egyptians? Did he not halt them when they were trying to kill God's people? And God began to discomfort them, and he began to, with their crazy self, and I say it like that, because I'm going to tell you something right now. I didn't know where in the world I would have went out in that water behind them people. Some kind of way, somebody should have said, "Wait a minute, y'all. Now, I think this is going too far. I think that we might not ought to take our chariots and go in here messing with these people. You see what they did? They killed our firstborn. Shouldn't that have been enough? They killed our firstborn. Fire and hell came down. Darkness came down. Our cattle, we done lost our cattle. We done went through life. We done went through not having enough water. But something in their brain went crazy. Now, to me, now, I wouldn't have done it. I said, "Wait a minute, y'all. 10 plagues, and now we going to go behind them? Are you mad? What can my little chariot do? And my little wheels is about to fall off now anyway. Well, what? No, I'm serious." But isn't the devil crazy? Now, what I'm trying to get y'all to see, whose side are you on? Oh, I wish I had. Okay. Hallelujah. Whose side are you on today? Are you on the Lord's side? Come on. Glory to God. You're on the winning side. He's fighting for you. Glory to God.
Winning
side. Hey. Yes. David. I watched the movie last week. David went down in the little movie. You know, he went to see about his brothers. And in the movie, you know, Saul didn't know what to do. Because the anointing had left him. It's a dangerous thing not to be able to hear God.
Yes, it is.
Huh? It's a dangerous thing when God don't like you no more. It's a dangerous thing, baby, when he ain't speaking to you anymore. And that's where Saul was. So here you had this giant for I don't know how many days threatening you. And in this little old movie, they would send a couple of them over there. Carly was kind of funny. He sent his head man in this little movie. "You go over there and talk to him." I would have told him, "Saul, you crazy. You go talk to him." But anyway, he went, and he took about 2 or 3 with him. They didn't come back. Killed them. Well, David was listening. He said, "Wait a minute. That strange voice. First of all, somebody is defying God. What do you do when you hear the devil defying your God? How do you react? Do you fight? Come on, do you contend for the faith? Because the Bible tells us to contend for the faith. He said, wait a minute, I'll go fight that man. He said, he ain't nothing. He's no more than a bear and a lion. And when you really see the enemy for who he is, he don't even have a bite. He has a bark. And that ain't that loud. Come on. Come on. The Bible said he has a roaring lion. He ain't even a lion then. Lions know their authority in the forest. God, I wish I had time today. But anyway. So we know the story that David decided, I will go and I will fight the giant. Now what I want to ask you, are you willing to get in the pit and fight your giant? No matter what it is, are you willing to take the little stones and allow the power of the Holy Ghost to get behind just one rock? Come on. Because that's all it took. One smooth stone killed that giant. And the power of God that's in you will slay your giant. Come on. Don't care if it's fear. I don't care what it is. Failure. I don't care what it is. Just pop the giant in the head. Thank you, Jesus. See, I have a left hand here. Right?
Amen.
Get the Holy Ghost behind me. Don't play with me.
That's right.
Come on, somebody.
Amen. Come on,
God. I'm a giant in the Holy Ghost.
That's right. Yes, you are.
And that's not pride.
We are.
You got to know who you are. You got to know the weapons that you have. And this is what we're trying to give you, just a few of them. You got to understand that when you stand and resist the enemy, he got to go. He can't stay. You got to know that you can pull down strongholds. You got to know that when you pray and fast and seek the Lord, you stay in the faith of God. God will do the work. And you got to know the power of the fire of the Lord. My God, today. Finally, keep your armor on. Yes. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Keep it on. Don't put your helmet on and take it off. Don't put the stuff on and take it off, lay it down. Well, I'm going to bed now. No, you sleep in it. Sleep in all that armor. Having fun, Randy. Yeah, because you never know when you're going to be called for alert at 2 o'clock in the morning. Somebody may be in trouble. You got to go find your helmet. I ain't had my Bible all weekend. I know I got them scriptures. Pastor told me to read them, and now I don't know where they at. Come on. Those are bullets. I wish I had time. I wish I had time. Those are bullets. The scriptures. We're teaching the people to get strapped with scriptures. Because you can't fight, you know, in your own reasoning. Right? Because your mind will get fickle on you. Well, I prayed for the sister to be healed and look like she ain't, so maybe she ain't got no faith. No. What you doing? Come on now. Don't pray for somebody if you don't believe that they can be healed. You know, I was thinking about Jerry this morning. I said, God, I thank you for healing her.
Yes.
I will not stop saying it.
Amen.
Amen.
I won't. I don't care how I look.
That's right.
I ain't going by what I look, what I see. I go by what the Word of God says.
Amen.
That woman of God deserves to have her sight.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
She deserves to walk out the rest of her days in victory.
Amen.
And we ought to stand linked arm in arm.
Yes.
And shield her from the wicked devices of the devil. Glory to God. When we learn as a body of Christ to stand shoulder to shoulder with one another and fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, we'll see more victory. We're not to war against one another. We're not to fight against one another. We're not to talk about one another.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Talk about the power of endurance. So when we realize we're stronger together, come on now. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two 10,000. And more than two in here. So every demon in Hot Springs ought to be on alert right now. They really ought to be on their knees worshiping God. Come on. Just because we're sitting right here. Do you realize that that's the type of power we got? To run the devil out of this area? Somebody ought to be praying for Salem, Massachusetts, that they're doing all this occultic foolishness up there. Anyway, I'm asking the Lord to send a group of intercessors up there to just, shut it down.
Amen.
Some stuff just need to be shut down.
Right.
And it's shut down through prayer.
Yes.
It's shut down by warriors that are willing to war and get on the battlefield and fight. Come on here.
Yes.
We ain't seen them kind of prayer groups yet.
No.
I'm still looking for them. I could go a whole lot of ways with that too, but I won't do it. It's time for us to take our rightful place in the kingdom of God.
Yes, yes. Amen.
It's time for us to be the saints God wants us to be. Take back the territory.
Take back.
You know, when we begin to do these kinds of things like prayer walks and going on territory and fighting, and I have good brothers and sisters that are raising up these type of prayer groups, and I think they're wonderful. I think they're good. But a lot of warfare goes behind it. A lot. You got to be vertical. You got to be straight when you're going to lead this kind of stuff. You can't lead it crooked. Because the devil will come after you if you're weak, if you got sin in your life. He's coming after you. So I'm real careful to make sure what I'm doing, sis, I'm living it first. Because if you are, you ain't got to worry then about that kind of craziness. Come on, somebody. You will do that God calls you to do. And you will be victorious.
Amen.
You got to live right. I can tell you that when I came to Arkansas, I knew the devil didn't want me there. Still don't. But I don't care about that. He's not my master. Jesus is. And when he gives you a commission, he gives you a call. He'll equip you to do it. Now you just be willing to do it. Without fear or reservation. So when you realize that you're in a fight, I want to give you these points. Realize this, number one, that God is your avenger. Psalm 94:1 says, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Now when you need to be avenged, ask God to come on the scene, because I think that's why he fought for Israel, right? That's why Pharaoh and his army died. God said, I'm going to make sure today that they ain't going to mess with y'all no more. He told Moses, get on up, take the people over. Now he made the way, he opened that door for his people. So the anointing was on his people to go through, but it wasn't on in Egypt. Come on now. And the devil, amen, is foolish to think that he can slay you when the anointing of God is on your life.
Amen.
To think that he can knock you out, take you out, when you're doing what God has called you to do.
Yes.
You got to stay in the will of God. Yes. Number two, God is your calmer of storms. Psalms 107:29. It says, he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. When Jesus was on the water, when the boys was out there, and Jesus told them, go on over to the other side, and they got in the middle of the boat, and they got to crying and going on, because the water was coming in. They thought they were going to drown, all this and that. Jesus already told them, hey, go. Now, when he tells you go, he don't mean that you're going to fail. Guess what he did? He walked on the water. He walked on the situation. And that's what God does for us. When stuff gets like you're going to drown. I've been there. Oh, now I'm going to get up out of this now. He's a calmer of storms. And the other time when they were in the boat, Jesus was asleep. They woke him up. He said, look, y'all ain't got no faith. He stood up and he said, peace, be still. He was teaching them how to fight. My God, hallelujah. And when I read those stories, When the storm comes, when someone calls me in the middle of the night, like a few weeks ago, young lady called me about 3 o'clock in the morning. Her daughter was missing. She didn't know where she was. And she said she had some mental challenges. I need to know where my daughter is. I prayed for her. I said, your daughter will be back home. Glory to God. She emailed me a week or so later. She said, thank you for praying. My daughter showed up. I was able to go get her. All is well. She was frantic, didn't know what to do, and first of all, had to calm her down. I said, now wait a minute, just calm down. Come on. Yes. Calm down. Everything is going to be all right. Yes. Glory to God. I began to pray, sis. I didn't really know how to pray for her. I didn't know where her daughter was. Didn't know if she was alive or dead. I said, now Lord, you know where she's at. Mm-hmm. You uncover her and bring her back home. Come on. Sometimes you don't know how to pray. But I think Romans tells us when we don't know how to pray, you pray in the Holy Ghost.
That's right. Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord will come and step in, my God. And He will give you exactly how to pray. He will give you the words to speak right in season that will bring peace. So God is a calmer of storms. Number three, He's your defense. Psalm 94:22, but the Lord is my defense and my God. He's the rock of my refuge. So He'll defend you. You ain't got to fight for yourself. Psalms 94:22. Sometimes I get excited and I go too fast. It'll slow me down. All right. That's number three. He's your defense. Hallelujah. Number four, He's your deliverer. Psalms chapter 91, verse 3. You know, it blessed me to hear Jerry quote that chapter. That woman full of the word.
That's right.
So when I grow up, I want to do that. I'm learning it now. Come on. Now, you want to learn that chapter? How many want to learn that chapter? You want to learn it? Tell you how to do it. Pray it. Pray it every day. This is how I learned it. Pray it. Begin to read it. Pray it every day. When you take that word, before you know it, you'll quote it because it'll be in you. So any scriptures you want to learn, whether it's chapters, passages of scripture, pray them. Understand, you put yourself in there. That's what I did. Put yourself in there. When you feel like, you know, you need protection, feel like the enemy's trying to get on your track, go to Psalm 91. Amen? That's how you learn it. So He's your deliverer. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. I make it very personal. God, I thank you. You're my refuge, you're my hope, you're my strength. I put my trust in you, God. You'll never disappoint me. And He won't disappoint you. Number four, number five, He's your fortress. Psalm 91, verse 2. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Number six, He's your guide. Psalm 48 and 14. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. But even when it comes down to the final moment of a person's life, He'll guide them over. He'll never leave you. That's Psalm 48 and 14. Number seven, He's your habitation. Psalm 91, verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. He's your dwelling place. We're to dwell in Him. Abide in Him. Remain in Him. Live in Him. He is your habitation. Glory to God. Number eight, when you're in a fight, realize that God is your healer. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. And one day, I got this scripture And a light bulb really came on, because I really began to realize from reading this scripture, Lord, if I obey you, healing really is my portion. But I must obey you. So this says here, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight. So I begin to say, Lord, I got to do right. Even when I want to strike, I can't do that. I want to do right in your sight. Healing is our portion. He says, and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. He said, I'll put none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. This is very personal to me, because I really desire to walk in total healing. And I believe it's our portion to do. No matter what he tried to come at us, walk it out. Okay? Number 9, he is your helper. Psalms 146, verse number 5, it says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Now we have a helper that will never leave us. And it's God. You know, since you have such a beautiful testimony of how the Holy Ghost moved and is moving in your life, he is your helper. And you know, I've said this before, the deepest prayer you could ever pray is this prayer right here. Lord, help me. Three words. Deep prayer. You ain't got to say much nothing else. Because there are times you can't say nothing else. But those three words, help me. That's what Peter did. He was about to drown. When you feel all hope is lost, help me. God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Don't forget, he's your help. When you're discouraged, help me, Lord. When you feel like you can't get the words out, help me. I need to write a song.
For several.
Entitled Help Me, yes. You know, I have one. Don't quit, don't stop, don't slow your roll. Don't quit. No matter what. Get up and fight.
Amen.
God will help you. Number 10, he's your keeper. Psalms 121, verse number 5. It says, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. He knows how to shelter you. Know how to keep you from the currents and all the waves and rigors of life. He's your keeper. Number 11. I love this one too. He's your refuge. Psalm 46 and 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Thank God for that today. He'll help you, baby. Thank you, Jesus. Number 12. He's your rescuer. Can't nobody rescue you like God can. Daniel 6 and 27. He delivereth and rescueth. And he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Now that was a sign and wonder. Come on. Now how many of you go up in a lion's den? The sign and the wonder was the mouths were shut. And he was able to sleep all night long. And the king was troubled because he knew he was wrong. He ain't had to throw that boy in there. You listening, you let somebody get you to sign this stuff and all this stuff here, you realize you did wrong. You couldn't do nothing about it. You had to throw him in that den, but God was with him. Come on. And the very ones that contracted to get him to do what he did, he said, y'all going in there. And they hadn't even got anything. Their minds tore them up. Come on. God will avenge you. We said it in the beginning. All David did was keep praying. Because that's what, you know, the enemy will come at you to attack the very thing God has told you to do. We're called to pray, for example. He'll attack that. Attack your credibility. Try to bring character assassination, all that stuff to get you to stop praying. Shut your mouth. I've been there. I was like, no, I ain't stopped doing what God told me to do. No, I'm not doing it. I'm sorry. I ain't sorry. But I'm just telling you, I'm not stopping.
Amen.
Don't quit. Don't stop.
Don't slow your roll.
God is on your side. Hallelujah. Finally, number 13, He's your sustainer. Psalms chapter 3, verse 5. I laid me down and slept. I wait for the Lord to sustain me. Glory to God. He will sustain you. Even in sleep, He will encourage your body. He'll heal your body. Come on, somebody. He will sustain you. You don't have to fear. Glory to God. So we're encouraging you today to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost and be determined to endure as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. He will not leave nor forsake you. He will be your all in all. So continue to trust God. Watch Him work His complete will in your life. I'm going to share this word from the Lord with you, and then I am done. The Lord says this, "This is an hour where I will pour out my Spirit on those who hunger and thirst for me. I am moving by my Spirit, says the Lord, and I will show myself strong on behalf of my people. My presence, my God, and my glory will be revealed in this hour. I will manifest myself in the earth as my people submit fully to my will, denying flesh and taking up their cross and following after me. In the midst of devastation, know that I am God and I will be exalted in the earth. This is an hour where my people must seek me and know me. Know that I am God and beside me there is no other. I say to my people, stay in my presence. Come out from sin. Cleanse yourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and I will receive you. Walk in the light of my word and I will reveal my glory and my presence. I desire that you have a sweet smell and aroma of my presence among you. I desire that you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I desire that you raise the dead and cast out devils. I desire that you go from glory to glory, that my word be spread to all generations. Walk before me, says the Lord, and know that I am God. Stand to your feet. Father, we love you today. We thank you, Father, for the word of the Lord. I thank you for your people. I thank you, God, for the ministry of the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Father, that you give us how to endure, and you are empowering your people to walk in the anointing of God and walk in the presence of God, the goodness of God, the mercy of God. I thank you, Father God, for life change on this weekend. I thank you, Father God, for victorious living in you. I thank you, Father God, that we are the head and we are not the tail today. I thank you, Father God, for your word, and I ask you to continue to minister to your handmaids, your men's service, Father God, your people of God. I thank you, Lord, for that you're doing and how you are equipping us, oh God, to go forth in this end time. Father God, a very tedious time, strategic time, but a precious time. I thank you, Father God, that you have time in your hands. Thank you for the kairos of God. Thank you, Father God, for the power of the Holy Ghost. I pray, God, today that you will renew and refresh us again in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that truly signs, wonders, and miracles will be wrought in your people. I thank you, Father, that even as they leave this place, they go home. They go home another way. I praise you, God, that you will encourage them and stir them, put that fire down in them for more of your word, more of presence, oh God, a greater intensity of prayer and fasting, seeking your face. Oh God, I thank you, Lord, that even intercession will become greater among your people. I thank you for the fire of the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Lord God, for the gifts of the Spirit. I thank you, Father, that you did not give the gifts for them to be dormant. But I thank you, Lord, that you will arise in us in a greater dimension. I thank you, God, for the power of the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Lord, for the word of the Lord that's gone through and ministered through your servants. I thank you, Father, for the staff here. I thank you, Lord, that you will continue to strengthen them, that you will keep them and watch over them, protect them and lead and guide in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the word of the Lord that's going out over the airwaves, radio airwaves. My God, the printed page. And I ask you, Lord, to continue to use, Father God, your choice servants, your vessels all over the world. My God, that's leaving out from this place. I thank you for my dear sister, Jerry and Carla. I thank you, Lord, that you've allowed me to stand with them this weekend. And I pray, God, the blessing of the Lord upon them. I pray the favor of God upon them. I pray more mercy and strength on them. I pray, God, that you continue to use them for your glory and for your honor. I thank you, Lord, that you're tearing down walls, my God, through the word of the Lord. I thank you for my dear brother Randy. I thank you for Sister Callie. I thank you, Lord, for these precious men and women of God. And I pray a blessing on them as well. I pray, God, that the mercy of God, the goodness of God, would continue to flow out of their lives in the name of Jesus. I thank you for every ministry represented here. My God, I ask you, Lord, to continue to stir, put a great fire down in the bellies of your people in the name of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done, oh God, and that you will continue to do. Once again, I thank you for Brother Merle. I thank you for how you're ministering to him. I thank you for the wisdom and knowledge you're giving to him. I thank you for how you're pouring out, God. Thank you for how you're answering prayer. And my God, I ask that you keep him, oh God, in the love of God and mercy of God. Protect him from the wiles of the enemy in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Father, we bind backlash, retaliating spirits that would try to hit your people as they go forth home. I pray, God, that when they reach their destinations, they will find all things well in the mighty name of Jesus. That needs to be fixed, fix it in Jesus' name. Oh, God. Oh, Lord God. Some are going back, oh, God, into just situations that they may not know what to do. But, Father, I know they will have a greater outlook, a better outlook. And you will give them how to overcome and make it through. So we thank you, Father. We praise you, God, for a refreshing of the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and mercy. We thank you for traveling mercy for everyone. Let everybody reach their destination, oh God, safely in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you and we praise you now for it all. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Clap them hands and give the Lord praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I know you've received prayer, but in the event you do need prayer, we don't want to close out. Amen. If anybody needs prayer, please come. And if not, it's okay. We love you. We thank God for you. And I have been honored to have been here. Amen. Can't wait for the next camp. Praise the Lord. If you have a mind to come, please come. Amen. And make sure you support, amen, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Amen. God bless you. We love you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.